true believers, and welcome to Dexcelsior, a podcast about the Marvel Champions living card game by Fantasy Flight Games. I'm your host, I'm John, and this is episode 10, and I'm joined by a crew that's ready to take an action. We have Sam.
My God.
You weren't ready for that one, were you?
No.
There's Ben.
I can't take an action.
No, because I'm still doing this. But after this, okay, you can take an action. And I see Matt. What's up, Matt?
Doing really good. I don't need an action.
Oh, now you don't need an action.
Yes, I took them earlier.
Unfortunately, Carlos cannot be with us tonight. His action is being used up at home, I guess. So hopefully we'll catch you next time, Carlos. Everybody, glad we're here tonight. I have a question for you. What is your favorite modular encounter deck to or set to use? Let's go with Sam.
My favorite by far is the Legions of Hydra.
Oh,
I
really?
Think it's the I just think it's the most enjoyable, and I think it's the most challenging.
Mm-hmm.
For all the sets.
What about you, Ben? What's your favorite modular encounter set to use?
Yeah. Well, if I want to be hard, then I like Legions of Hydra, because I'm Chris. But otherwise, I like, if I'm a more casual game, I like Masters of Evil, because they're all different, and they all have crazy boost effects, and it's fun.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Matt?
Well, I'd say probably, I like Legions of Hydra, because I really like that Hydra Guard.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my favorite for a real, because it's different, is Under Attack, because it's the only one without minions, and it challenges you in a different way to play.
Interesting. See, yeah, I'm the same way. I really like Under Attack. I think it's challenging, but not overly challenging like Doomsday Chair or something like that. Doomsday Chair I do like. It's really fun. If I really want to challenge, I love Doomsday Chair because it's definitely one of the harder ones. But I think I'm with you, Matt, that Under Attack really challenges you in a different way, but it doesn't feel overly, like, sloggy.
It's the main way to challenge leadership players right now, I'd say.
Yes,
I want your cap.
Oh, right. Well, tonight, listeners, our show, we're going to talk about some gameplay that we've had recently. We're going to have a new segment called Gameplay Corner, where we talk about some of our recent gameplay endeavors. We're going to talk about the news, and we're going to dive into the core set villains. We're going to talk strategy, how you can beat up on these baddies. But first, it's time for some Marvel musings with Matt, the part of the show where Matt gives us some Marvel trivia. What do you got for us, Matt?
Well, this one's about the Masters of Evil. So they were basically the arch-villains of the Avengers, originally formed by Baron Zemo. But then they got reformed by the Crimson Cowl. This may sound familiar because the Crimson Cowl is actually Ultron. He actually created that secret identity, even though none of the Avengers actually knew who he was. Except for Hank, who built him.
What? Wait, not Iron Man?
I'm confused. How could people not know who he was? It's a robot wearing a hood. That makes no sense.
It was a cowl, which covers the face.
Oh.
Okay.
So they
still can't see his robot eyes?
No.
No, it covers his face. I didn't realize there was a nice little nod to the... I recently watched Age of Ultron recently. There's a nice little nod in the Crimson Cowl thing when Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver go to first meet Ultron, and he's kind of sitting in a chair and they can't see him. You just see this red hood. I was kind of like, oh, hey. Now that I've played this game, I realize who Crimson Cowl is. It's kind of like, oh, that's a nice little nod to the comics in that
movie. Yeah, I really like that with the first little main scheme where it says Crimson Cowl, just because I didn't expect them to tie into that.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. All right, everybody, let's move on to the Daily Bugle Newsroom. Sam, what has happened in the news since our last recording?
So we've had plenty of news for this last couple of weeks. In that, on December 20th, we will have Ms. Marvel, Captain America, and Green Goblin all released. We'll have plenty to dig into over the holidays.
Man. Oh my gosh.
Get on your holiday budget.
Hey, that's my payday, so I'm just going to go straight to the comic book shop after that.
Nice. Team Covenant did a stream of their version of Super Expert Mode One of them played as Captain America, and they played, I think it was against Claw, and Super Expert Mode for them. I would really recommend this stream. It was one of my favorites, is where the first player took one additional counter card, which I got to say, I absolutely love that you can change the difficulty of the game literally by just taking an extra card each turn. I would recommend that stream to go watch. They also dropped their green goblin tokens, if you guys are interested. We also had the Thor article and the FFG stream, which we covered in our Thor hot takes. But check that out if you haven't seen it yet.
Oh, but
that's
man.
Everything for news.
There's so much Thor. Like, did they spoil every hero card that he has?
Yes. Every hero card Ms. Marvel has. And every card in Captain America's deck.
So much spoilage. Oh my gosh. I can't wait to get my hands on these. Christmas is coming early, boys. It's going to be great. Yeah. That's like right in time. The 20th is my last day of school, and that's only a half day, so I'll get home around noon and just be waiting all day for my Team Covenant order to ship in, and I'll just break it open and start playing. I can't wait.
Oh, we're super excited because the night before I'm going to see Star Wars. And then
same here.
Star Wars on the 20th. I'm going to see it on the 19th. That way, the 20th, I can just play Marvel instead.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, Sam, you and I are going to have the same day, basically. That's awesome.
I get out of school on Friday.
You know, so this Friday?
To us in care.
Nice.
And my last final is on Thursday.
Nice. Christmas break. I love it.
I hope Christmas comes early up here in Canada.
Yeah.
I wouldn't see why not. You're right next to the States.
You'd think so, but...
All right, let's go on to a new segment we're going to try out, everybody. And listeners, if you like this, tell us you want more of it. We've got our Discord channel and Facebook that you can get in touch with us on. We're going to do a little segment called the Gameplay Corner, where we just talk about recent games. We may take turns, or if we've had a big multiplayer game with all of us together, we'll talk about that. So, just our recent experiences in the game. I think we should talk about the one we just played. We decided we'd play Expert Rhino right before we started recording, just to kind of hang out beforehand, and oh my gosh. Like, I kind of wish we were recording, but we would have to tag it with an NSFW, a not safe for work tag, that's for sure.
And a spoiler tag.
And a spoiler tag, that's right, because Matt, you were playing Thor, right?
Yeah.
And who else? Sam, you were playing with a bunch of spoiled cards, right? You were proxying a bunch of them.
Yeah, I was using some of the Captain America leadership allies. But by the time this episode comes out, they won't be spoilers.
That's true. They'll be actually legit. They'll be out there in the wild. Gosh, there's so many cards all at once. I can't get over that.
But... You still don't know a couple of them.
Yeah.
We're just missing aggression and a basic card.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. We got more to come.
And Miss Marvel's aggression, which is a 3-cost event. If you watch carefully on the stream, you can see that.
Oh, really?
And, I think she has a couple of cards missing. I think it's aggression and a basic. Maybe another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Sam, I want you to tell, who are you, what hero are you playing, and what was kind of funny about how you played that hero?
I was playing Black Panther leadership. And I played 2 Black Panther upgrades the whole game and discarded both of them to the obligation.
To his obligation.
Never played Wakanda Forever. Never played I literally just sat there, played my allies, drew cards with the team card, the one that lets you draw cards for if you exhaust your allies. And I just sat there playing all my allies, all my leadership cards, and no Black Panther cards.
And it worked! That's the crazy thing! Like, that deck did work! And you never played a single Black Panther upgrade. Well, you did, but they went away. That was crazy.
The first time it wasn't by choice. I had to because I was exhausted. But then I just decided to roll
with it. Like I say, you don't need to play him with the Wakanda Forever build. He is a very viable play without it.
And that's what excites me about all these cards coming out, is because we're going to have so many a variety of ways to play. Like, you played a Black Panther deck that never plays Wakanda Forever. And it worked, and that's
really
so cool.
I could have just slotted in any hero, and it would have been the same.
Yeah.
With the same hand size.
That's right.
Can I take an action now?
Well, no. I can
So to explain this one, I would frequently in the game ask if I could take an action and sometimes lie about what I was going to do because there's an annoying Thor card coming out that, I mean, they didn't like it. At least I didn't put two accelerations as She-Hulk like Ben did.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
I just didn't want an exhaust. Like... Oh,
but you put on two with the thing, and then John checked himself and put the last one in.
Yeah, that was his fault.
So I don't know, we had three obligations going through the deck every time, and I well, really I nailed like 11 cards on my own in one time.
That's probably right. A whole...
You milled the deck and then didn't hit a... Your card did nothing except put an acceleration token on.
That was really funny. That was, yeah, because we'd be like, Matt be like, can I take an action? I want to, we're like, what are you doing? He'd be like, I want a hammer throw. We're like, okay. Defender of the Nine Realms. Ah, come on, Matt.
The best part... action. Are you going to play Defender of the Nine Realms? If I say no, will you let me?
The best part about the game, he had to disconnect for whatever he was doing, and he jumps back on voice, and the first thing he says is, can I take an action?
Oh my gosh. That was an amazing game. I really wish we could have recorded it.
We ended up with, what, five acceleration tokens?
Yeah, I think
yes,
so.
We ended up with five. It was advancing by nine at the start of every round.
Oh boy.
I played, we ended up winning. We did win, by the way, listeners. It was
I played
insane,
legal practice. I was playing She-Hulk. I played legal practice more than I ever have.
That's true. You did play it like three or four times.
My hands were awful. Oh my gosh, that was like the worst luck I ever had.
Oh man, that was great. That was so much fun.
Oh man. Anyway, yeah, that was great.
All right. Well, are we ready to move on to our main topic?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do this. So our main topic is going to be the core set villains tonight. We've noticed a lot on Facebook and Discord, people being like, "Ah, Rhino, I can't beat him," or "Claw keeps kicking my butt," or "How are you supposed to defeat Ultron?" So we at Dexcelsior are here to help. We have devised some strategies to help you listeners in taking down these baddies. So we're going to start with just the standard version of each one, and then we'll go on and add on some expert advice. So we're going to just go through the core set in order: Rhino Standard, Rhino Expert, Claw Standard, Claw Expert, and Ultron Standard, Ultron Expert. So, Sam, why don't you start off with Rhino Standard?
Okay, do we want to start with the defining card?
Yeah, go ahead and start off do the defining cards for us.
Okay, so Rhino Standard has three big defining cards. Those are Charge, Stampede, and Breaking and Taking. And Charge is the one that attaches to Rhino, gives him +3 attack, and when he attacks, it gains overkill, and it discards itself. So it's like one big attack with Rhino. Stampede is the one that, if you're a hero, he attacks you, and if it deals damage to you, you're stunned. Or to a character, it's stunned. But not many allies are going to survive that attack, maybe Luke Cage. And the last one's Breaking and Taking, which Rhino 2 is going to search out of his deck, and it's a side scheme that it's going to, in solo, have 2-3 threat on it, unless you cancel the one per player. And then it starts with 2 and has 1 per player put on there when it's revealed. But that has a hazard icon, which is going to give you +1 encounter card during the villain phase, which can be huge.
Yeah, it's double your encounter cards that you would normally see. So it's really, it can mess your day. You got to get rid of it quick. which I think it brings us, we'll go ahead and skip down to the next point. You need to immediately clear Breaking and Taking when you can. So in standard mode, that means don't flip Rhino until you have the thwart ready to take off Breaking and Taking. Because if you can't, that can really mess you up because you're getting double your encounter cards. So don't flip Rhino to stage 2 until you have a way to remove at least 3 threat in solo. If you're in multiplayer, make sure you can remove however much you're going to need to take it off. So be careful about... And that can really go for any villain, I think, is be careful when you flip them. I mean, would you all agree?
Right. They usually get worse.
Especially if they out something when they flip.
Say that again, like, Sam. You cut out.
Especially if the villain brings something out when they flip, like the Breaking and Taking. Is if you know it's coming... Like, obviously, the first time if you go in blind, that's one thing. But if you know it's coming, I won't flip Rhino in solo unless I know I have 3 thwart available to me to get rid of it. And obviously each hero has a different way to do that. Mm-hmm. But that can be a big wrecker against your game, especially if something like charges out and he can attack, and then if he gets an assault or stampede after that as one of those extra cards, he'll attack you again, and that could be the end of your hero.
Mm-hmm.
Or advanced.
Gosh, hate advanced. Matt, why don't you read our next bullet point that we had down there after defining cards?
In solo, be careful with going into alter ego mode. This is because you already placed one threat on there. He's going to scheme, which is usually for 2 or 3. So that puts you up to 4. And just takes an advance or a particularly bad triple boost icon, and you can suddenly end the game in alter ego mode. Because you just can't afford that. Don't flip unless you got it down to 1 or 0 threat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's part of the swinging nature of solo.
And especially because Rhino is a one scheme deck.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think especially you should look at the discard pile for the encounter deck before you flip. If it's not at 1 or 0, because if there are no advances in the discard pile, don't flip. Because everyone knows that's when they're going to come up. They're going to magically find their way to the top of the deck and make you lose.
Yep. That's what happens.
In the discard pile, I'm a little more lenient to flipping when he's at 2. I will not flip if he's at 3 at all. I will just suck up the attack.
Oh, yeah. And I mean,
once it kills you.
Well, then you're going to lose either way. You might as well flip. If you know you're going to die, you might as well flip, because you never know. But otherwise, just eat the attack, because it's just too risky.
Right, yeah. Unless you have, like, emergency or something like that to soak up the threat.
Yep.
Or prevent threat.
Ben, why don't you read the next point?
All right. Okay, so Rhino deals a lot of damage. He's got, like, his attack is, like, the consistent highest attack, I think, outside maybe Ultron.
Ultron 3 is a bit high, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even Ultron 2 gets boosts usually.
Yeah. But yeah. I'm just saying. Like, he's pretty high consistent attack. He's got ways to boost his attack in his deck. So he is going to, and he's got lots of ways to attack you extra attacks. So you're going to take a lot of damage. So you want to bring healing, like med team or first aid. And especially you want allies to block for you. So like cheap allies like Maria Hill are really good at soaking up a huge hit that, you know, could deal like 5 or 6 damage to you. You can just block with Maria Hill and you're fine, as long as it doesn't have charge attached.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the reasons why there's only one scheme card is because the designers know that Rhino's goal is to knock you out.
Yeah.
And now obviously this changes in solo because you can quickly get that scheme really high. But in standard, if he flips a 3 boost, he's hitting you for 5. And on stage 2, if he flips the 3 boost, he's hitting you for 6. And on stage 3, he's hitting you for 7. On average, you're probably going to get a 1 to 2 boost card, but that's still, that piles up really quickly, mm-hmm. especially with stampedes and assaults and charge in there too.
Right.
Yep, and he's got even more ways to boost his... He's got a couple of ways to boost his attack power with the ivory horns and charge especially. He's a bruiser. He wants to knock you out and take your lunch money.
Yeah,
he has a ways to keep alive too. So you want to watch out for those. Like the Rhino suit is... which I think this one needs to be read a little more carefully, because I've seen this happen a lot. It's when any amount of damage would be dealt to Rhino, place it here instead. Then if there's at least 5 damage here, discard the suit. I've seen a lot of newer players play this as they'll play a swinging web kick and put 5 on the suit and 3 on Rhino. You can't do that. you have to put all the damage on the suit first, because it's when any amount of damage would be placed there. So that's something to watch out for. If you know you're going to have a big attack, try to deal with that first. But he has, and like he has, I'm tough and hard to keep down. So he has ways to keep himself alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the basic one. So as far as like strategy goes, there's not, I mean, there's some strategy to Rhino. We've talked a little bit about it, but the main strategy is, you know, just keep the threat low. Don't take too much damage at once, and you'll eventually just take him down. He's the beginner villain. He's not super complex, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
He's very straightforward.
He's very straightforward. Take him down.
Also, he has like very few minions, like relatively speaking. So any cards that like I'm just blanking on it, the aggression card that hits a minion for 5. Oh gosh.
Relentless Assault.
Relentless Assault.
Relentless Assault as good, and other things like that that are chase them down isn't as good.
That's not a great card in Rhino.
Right.
I find myself taking that card out of my decks when I play Rhino.
Right. So if you're having trouble with Rhino, I guess try to focus less on minions. And the minions that are in there are not very scary, so you can usually just kill them with your hero and like maybe an ally.
Mm-hmm. And the only big difference, I think, from going from standard to expert is you just got to be ready for bigger hits and those expert cards. So the expert cards, that goes for any scenario. But Rhino, really, he can really hit you hard. Like, the jump from 3 attack to 4 attack is really big, especially with boosts and charge and all that. So be ready when you're going into expert to... and, I mean, when he goes to the third stage, he stuns you and gets tough. You can deal with that, but... be ready for even bigger hits when you go to stage 3. And that's the main thing to worry about.
Also, note, I didn't realize this until our game today when we were playing, is that he only stuns heroes when he goes to stage 3.
Oh, that's
3.
A good point.
I thought he just stunned you. I didn't read the card. I just assumed it was bad. But no, he only stuns the hero. So if you flip to alter ego before you advance him, or you... he's not going to stun you, but that also means you have to have conditional damage that will hit him while you're an alter ego, like an ally or tac team.
Yeah, that's not that hard to do. Yeah.
Like John said, he's just the intro. He's not designed to be incredibly difficult. Now, there are ways to make him difficult, like playing expert or adding modular sets, because each are going to do a different thing to help Rhino.
You can definitely lose them if you're just not paying attention, or you know, you get unlucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just watch John's
Yeah, I know, the one where I lost twice because Titania decided to come out twice in a row, and then I finally won the third time on standard Rhino.
Yeah, I'm lucky. Yeah, that happens.
It happens. It can
happen. Especially solo.
Oh yeah.
I like that about Rhino, is that it's not impossible for you to lose against him. So, like, he's still a villain I'll come back to test some decks, just because it's not impossible to lose to him. And I think Rhino's fun. I think he's a fun villain.
Mm-hmm. I kind of don't like him just because, because he only has one scheme. There's no turning point. Basically, it's keep threat down. There's no, okay, I lost threat, so it gets a bit more difficult, but I can still win. And the only real variance in the gameplay, I'd say, is if he gets charge out, or if he, like, when he flips to Rhino 3, then it's suddenly stun and tough, and it's like, okay, we gotta do some damage, we're not even putting a dent in him yet.
Mm-hmm.
But other than those two, like, it feels very samey for the entire game.
Eric.
That's fair.
So,
okay,
I know...
go ahead, Sam.
It's I think you reveal your cards in random order, but you're either gonna be really happy or really hurt if your two cards are an attack card and charge, because if you flip over charge first and then the attack card, you're going to be really sad. But if you flip over the attack card and then charge, you're going to be less sad. But that you can't control. That's just luck. Black Widow. It's great.
Oh, yeah.
Like any of his cards that you don't want to see, like charge or stampede, even breaking and taking, because that can come out. Because that's an encounter card, that could come out on the first turn. Mm-hmm. Always just have to watch for.
All right, I think we can move on from Rhino. Are there any... I know we had said we were going to talk about heroes and strategies against each one, but I think, really, Rhino, you can pit any hero against him. I mean, he's designed to be the intro, so...
Yeah,
you can. Really. He's probably going to be a very good standard testing... If you want to test a deck, run it against Rhino. If it can't beat Rhino, you probably shouldn't play that deck, ever.
Unless it's centered around minions.
Unless... Okay, right. Yeah, fair enough. Unless it's centered around minions.
I guess I will say one thing.
Oh, you finish want to take an action now, Matt? Okay.
No. Finish him off with Swing and Kick from Spider-Man. It feels very satisfying because the picture is him kicking Rhino in the face.
Oh,
to beat him with that, it just feels so nice.
It does.
Yeah. I suggest you do, every player should do that at least once.
I think Luke Cage and Backflip are great, and are great ways to get around that
discharge.
They're just, since you're canceling the damage and shield block when it comes out,
mm-hmm.
right
on today's release, when this episode comes out, that's another great card against charge.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's move on to Claw. So, Matt, why don't you take the defining cards for Claw?
Okay, well, first up is Sonic Boom, which is probably the biggest one.
Oh, God.
When you draw it, you either have to spend one resource of each type or exhaust each character you control. And if you draw an attack and the attack deals damage to you, you exhaust. I've been hit by this thing so many times when I actually... Okay, I'm not going to defend. He only does one damage, and there's Sonic Boom. And mm-hmm. now I'm exhausted, and my turn is messed up. Mm-hmm. Or you draw it with a full board of allies, and look, I'm exhausted now because I can't afford to pay it.
Yeah.
It's so annoying.
It's the most annoying card in the game, honestly. Worst card, but the most annoying card.
I think this is the biggest tempo hit that can hit. Like, I think this is one of the biggest tempo hits that you can take is this card, because it's either going to exhaust your hero when at that point it's taking away because you could have recovered or you could have defended and not take the damage. Mm-hmm. Now you can't because it exhausts you. And if you're playing leadership, well, there goes most of your turn unless you have an Avengers Assemble in hand.
Yeah, choosing not to defend with, like, protection and then just getting exhausted anyways is so feel bad.
Right.
Especially if you have an Indomitable.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then also, and if you're She-Hulk and you're just like, I'll just take a damage, I got 15 health. And it's like, oh, wait. I can't one-two-punch anymore. I'm very sad.
Yep. See, I hate this card more as She-Hulk when it comes out as the treachery version, not the boost, because I've got a hand size of 4. Discarding one of each resource is like basically skip your next turn, you know.
Yeah,
even if I've got my cards online, you've got a hand size of 4. Even if sometimes I can't even do it, so I have to exhaust because I can't because I don't have one of each resource.
I know, yeah, it's an anti She-Hulk card. Like, oh my gosh.
What's the next one? What's the next defining card for Claw, Matt?
Next one is Weapons Runner. It's a 2 health ally, one scheme, one attack, and when you draw him, he surges. And if you draw him as a boost card, he goes right into play.
Yeah.
And that does mean that he attacks you. If, like, in the villain phase, Claw attacks you, and his boost card is this Weapons Runner, that Weapons Runner has come into play, so he'll attack you after Claw finishes that attack.
Also, rules note, the Weapons Runner does not surge if you draw him as a boost card. He just goes into play. You ignore surge.
Good
so that's
point.
Like
that's
a small
point.
Mercy.
Or if you get him out of when you use Claw and you discard cards from the top of the deck put him into play.
Oh, I love
he
seeing
also
him in.
Doesn't do that.
That's the best feeling. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But like, he's not a big impact, but he's something that shows up a bunch.
He's kind of a bread and butter card for Claw.
I find him a charming part of Claw. It's just like, hey, that's Claw. He has a bunch of minions and... It's just a cute little guy there that I punch.
It can be really frustrating if you... Because if he's a boost, now it's damage from 2 different sources. Because, if I wanted to backflip, now I still have to take a damage. And, like, one damage, yes, won't seem that bad, but in the long run, that could be the thing that kills you, because then what if you draw an assault or any of Claw's... Not Sonic Boom. The Claw's Vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of my favorite was drawing him as an... I drew the double surge encounter card, so you draw 2 cards. Draw him, get another enemy, and then I draw Gang Up. So then I have 3 enemies hitting me I've well, and then two enemies hitting me, all out of nowhere.
Well, that's brutal. That's brutal.
Oh, and another rules thing is that, because you just brought up Gang Up, if that card is, if he's a boost card when Claw attacks you for Gang Up, he attacks you too, because now he's in play. And when what Caleb said for on our, when he was on our podcast for Ultron, is that his drones will attack because they entered play, so will this minion.
Yep.
Interesting. Cool. Wow. Yeah.
What's the next one, Matt? What's another? We got two more.
Well, next up, we got a pair of attachments for Claw. First up is the Sonic Converter, which they both attach to Claw. It gives him plus one attack, and after he attacks you and damages a character, he stuns them. And to remove it, you gotta spend one of each resource as a hero action. And I'd say probably worst of all, it has three boost icons.
Yeah, that's really nasty. Yeah.
So you need to take out Sonic Converter, because the bonus attack damage is already a problem, but stunning just sets you back so hard.
You don't believe us. Watch the... What was it? The first Team Covenant?
It was one of the first ones they did.
It was like the second one they did, yeah.
Yeah, the second... It was. I think it's called Deck Building and Second Gameplay.
Yeah.
It was from Gen Con, like when the game was announced. And it didn't take care of this card, and it just sat there stunning their heroes. And then they were like, why didn't we take care of this sooner? As a whole, just as a input here, they're really helpful. I know me and John have started putting up videos too. Like, I think all the content creators have some good videos, but theirs have been really helpful.
Oh yeah, go watch Team Covenant. What's the other attachment, Matt?
The other one is the Salad Sound Body. It attaches a claw as well, and it gives him retaliate. It has three boost icons as well, and spend one of each to remove it, just like the converter.
Yeah.
It's so, usually... I like drawing this one, because it means nothing really happens, because you can just remove it on your turn. It didn't do much to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I agree.
Annoying. It's really bad if you're relying on to attack, because the, you know, extra damage is really annoying.
Yeah, the allies attacking is going to be really bad.
But you usually can avoid attacking Claw until you get rid of
it. Yeah.
Or just take a couple damage and it's not the end of the world.
I have a theme question. How is this giving him retaliate if the blasts that are shooting at him are going through him, not bouncing back?
Well, it kind of reverbs when it hits him.
Yeah, there you go.
If that's your fist, then that's going to retaliate.
But wouldn't your fist go through him?
Maybe your fist went through him, and your hero's like, whoa, what just happened? And then he punches you, because you weren't prepared for that.
It's solid sound, so when you hit him, it causes a boom. Like, you hit a wall and causes an echo, or like a gong, except he's down. He's living sound, so it goes, it's a big sonic boom.
You just hit him, and it's just like, ow, my ear takes the damage.
It's only one damage, so yeah.
Yeah. These plus the... Sonic Boom as well, they all cost one of each resource, and that can really tax you if you get a bunch of these at once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And those boost icons, over time, they're just going to... Because you draw through the deck, these hurt when you draw them in an attack.
Now, that brings up a question. Can Vibranium count as two different resources?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe so.
That's what I thought. That was my assumption, but I know people have been asking, so another rules thing is you can use Vibranium to take out two of these resources.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Basically, when you spend a wild, you decide, you say what kind of resource it is, and there's no rule saying that Vibranium resources have to be the same. Yeah. So you just say, okay, this one's physical, this one is mental, and
then you spend.
Then you add something else to that.
Yeah, that works. I like it.
Vibranium is so good against Claw.
Yeah.
Black Panther fittingly is very effective with his Vibranium against Claw.
Yeah, good point.
Theme. Wow, awesome.
I'll take the next point. So, Claw is unpredictable in his attacks because he has, in stage one, zero attacks. So you must be like, yay, it's only going to be really weak. Well, he gets two boost cards in each form, stage one, two, and three. He always gets two boost cards when he attacks. And in stage one, he has zero attack, so it's just going to be whatever the boost gives him. Stage two, he has one attack. In stage three, he has two attacks. So he's wildly swingy in how much he can hit you for, because he's got in his base set boost icons of three all the way down to zero. So he could, you could get lucky, and on stage one, you could draw two boosts that you could draw, like, I don't know, assault and advance as his boost cards and just take nothing. Or you could draw 2-3 attacks, and all of a sudden he attacks for 6. So it can be really wild. So just kind of be prepared and know, general, how much he could do to you so that you don't just immediately get hit and just die. Like, if you're at 6 or under with Claw, you really need to be potentially blocking with an ally or just exhausted to defend, because he could just hit you really hard out of nowhere. So just be ready for that.
This also brings up that Sonic Boom as a boost. Because he's getting 2 boost cards, even at 0 attack, if one of them is Sonic Boom, it is almost definitely going to exhaust you still.
Mm-hmm. I've had a couple of times where he draws both Sonic Booms as his boost.
Feels so good.
It feels so great. Like, oh, get those out of the deck, and he deals no damage. Oh, this is going to be a good turn. The other point is that Claw is a schemer. He schemes for a lot. And he's got 2 scheme in his first and second stage, and then goes up to 3 scheme base in his third stage. So he could scheme starting off up to 5. So he could, if you're playing solo, he could just get through his entire first stage in one go, if you're unlucky enough and you're an alter ego, because you place 1 at the very beginning, then he could scheme for up to 5, which gets him up to his 6, which gets him through his first stage right away. So just know that could come if you stay in alter ego mode and let it happen. Just be very, very wary of that. Any other points on that?
The one good thing about that is that his first scheme isn't that bad if he advances. So, like, it just fetches out another minion for the first player. So sometimes he'd be like, okay, he's going to scheme, and he's going to probably advance his scheme, but I'll be okay with that, because I'll build up and be able to handle, come back stronger next turn and prevent him from advancing a second scheme.
Okay, I just really quickly looked at this because I had my cards in front of me. Including the standard encounter set, not modular, because that's up to you, and that's going to change each time. There are 2 cards that have 3 boost icons in Claw's deck. 5 cards that have 2 boost icons in Claw's deck and Shadows of the Past. Have 1 boost icon.
Say that again, you cut out.
There are 7 cards that have 1 boost icon that's in Claw's deck and in the standard encounter set. Then the rest.
The rest are 0.
9 cards are 0, but 2 of them are the weapons runners, so they're probably going to engage you. And then they would scheme for 1 each, so we're going to count them as 1. And then the Sonic Boom, which if he's scheming, doesn't matter.
So
the chance that he's going to get a 3 is very low, unless you're playing a harder modular set, but it's still there.
So just know that it could happen and be prepared for it. Yeah.
Going back to the main scheme and how, like, it's not too big, I like how they use that to introduce multiple stage main schemes. Because, like, it doesn't feel too bad. It shows there's a consequence, but it's a nice way to ease you into it before you go into the next villain.
Yeah, agreed.
Sam, why don't you read the next bullet point?
Okay, so minions are very common in Claw's deck, so be prepared. Have ways to defeat minions. Just know that it's coming. I mean, this main scheme and a second stage of the scheme are both going to pull out a minion. And then you have the weapons runners and the mercenaries that have guard.
Armor guard. Those guys are really too bad.
This is frustrating.
Yeah, they're more annoying than anything.
And if you're, depending on what modular set you're using, he has the potential to start with a MODOK in play, Madame Hydra, or Hydra Guards, any of the Masters of Evil, which is recommended. I don't think there's a minion. Oh, no, there's minions in Bomb Scare, but it's the 2 Hydra Bombers or whatever.
Yeah, that's not a big deal.
They're really crappy. So, he's I mean, he's got minions. They're not like. Oh, and also you'll see them more often because Weapons Runner comes out as a boost card. And he draws two boost cards when he attacks. So. If it's. There's more. It feels like there are more minions in his deck than like there literally are. But yeah, so anti-minion cards are good. Like Relentless Assault. Basically all of aggression. Tigra is amazing against Claw because she can just kill the Weapons Runner with no consequence.
Oh yeah.
Chase them down isn't bad. First turn, you can if you can kill that minion, you can remove two threat from defense network.
Yeah. Yep.
Isn't bad.
Go ahead.
The fact that he starts with a scheme in play.
Oh yeah.
It's already harder. In standard, but when we get to expert, we'll get to the
We'll talk about that.
Why it's hard.
Yeah.
Ben, hit our next bullet point.
All right. So, he burns through the encounter deck quickly because he draws two cards as a boost when he attacks, and he also his schemes when they advance can discard a lot of cards to find a minion. So. He ends up just getting a lot of acceleration tokens. In solo, it's not uncommon to have at least one, possibly two, even, if you go really late. And in, like, multiplayer, you end up with, like, you know, as many as there are players, usually.
Yeah.
So threat just gets increasingly harder to deal with it the longer you take against Claw.
If you start with his recommended set, the Masters of Mayhem card will also dig through his deck quicker, too.
No, that one's a search. You can search
the Masters of Evil. That one searches.
Scheme.
Oh, I'm sorry. The scheme. The Masters of Evil scheme.
Yeah.
I said the wrong name. That one will dig through his deck, too.
Yeah.
So that's another option. Of him burning through his deck.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, that's an interesting thing. Like, he just burns through his deck a lot faster than any other villain. Mm-hmm. And, again, that means you'll see the weapons runners a lot more often because he'll reshuffle his deck and they'll come back out.
I feel like against Claw, I lose to threat more than I do attacking. What do y'all think? In solo?
Yes.
Yeah. In solo, I lose a lot more standard. So, in standard, I lose a lot more to threading out than anything.
Right.
Yeah, I'd agree so.
What's the last bullet point for standard that we have?
I just want to say one other thing.
Oh, go ahead.
I'd say the reason you scheme out is because the two attack cards, it makes you a lot more worried about being hit by his damage that you underestimate the threat from the scheme itself. He's like, oh boy, two attacks. What if he draws, like, two twos, suddenly he's attacking for a lot. But you don't think, hey, he's going to scheme, he could scheme for a lot too.
Yeah.
So this last one, he has 6 hit point increase going to stage two. And then he gets another six five when he goes up to stage three?
It's six.
It's six. Yeah, it's right? Six. You're right.
Yeah.
And that's just a massive jump in hit points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, six per player.
Yeah. And then that when you go to expert, that's one of the biggest changes. Is it's a massive boost in how much damage you got to do before you can beat them.
Yeah.
From Claw 2 to 3 is only.
It's only 4. Yeah, he goes from 18 4? To 22.
Oh yeah, you're right.
12 to 18, and then it's 18 to 24. But that 22. Sorry. That 12 to 18 is really 12 to 28 because. You get the
Immortal Claw
out instantly. So it's really 12 to 28, which is
a... If you're playing solo.
16. Yeah, it's a 16 hit point jump, unless you can remove the threat.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Immortal Claw, why don't we go on to Claw Expert, who hasn't read one in a little bit. I guess I'll go. So you have to be ready, and I've... Gosh, I've learned this because I'm on Claw Expert right now as we're recording this in my progression playthrough series, and Claw Expert is kicking my butt because you start with two side schemes in play. You start with Defense Network and the Immortal Claw, both with 3-threat in solo. And man, is that annoying, because you've got to get, if you're playing solo, you've got to get threat removal in your opening hand, like a 4-justice or something to get rid of threat right away, because the Immortal Claw is going to have an acceleration token, so you're going to go up by 2, and in solo, that probably means you're going to advance if you've stayed in Alter Ego. And so you've got to hit the ground running with Claw, and which I've found is very difficult with She-Hulk, because you only have a hand size of 4. So it's very tricky. You've got to be ready to go. It's easier in multiplayer because you've got more people, therefore more ways to thwart. So it's not as bad in multiplayer, but solo, starting with two side schemes can be really rough.
I mean, the good thing is that the defense network doesn't do anything except protect the main scheme.
That's so true. You can kind of leave it for a round.
Yeah, you can leave it. It's not, if it stays in play for a round or two, it's not that big of a deal. So you want to focus on getting rid of the Immortal Claw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ASAP, probably.
Those buffer hit points.
More for the acceleration icon.
And the big, when you go for expert, the expert claw, when you go to stage 3, I really don't think it's that big of a deal. He just gets toughness, and that's really, and he goes to 22 hit points in solo. He increases by 4 per player.
And he also gets plus 1 scheme, plus 1 attack.
That's the big one. That is the biggest
big
one.
Stat boost.
The scheme is huge.
It's the highest scheme in the core. I think it might be higher than even the villain goblin villains.
Yeah, it's higher than any scheme we've seen, I think.
Let me check Ultron. What's Ultron got in stage 3?
Two.
He's got 2s.
He's got 2, you're right. Yes, about, he's more than Ultron.
Green Goblin have 3 scheme?
I think Norman Osborn does.
No. I think he might on like stage 2 or 3. I don't remember.
I think Norman Osborn has 3.
At the core set, 3 scheme is the highest. So flipping back is almost a no-no in solo.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on stage 2, you have to have that scheme down at 0, and even then it can go up
by 6-7. You barely have enough.
Yeah, it could go up a lot.
Because the 1 per player. But at that point, if you already have an acceleration token,
it could just end you.
Which will. Yeah.
I think that, between this and Rhino, it makes emergency very good in solo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, and I hated that card until I played it a couple times in solo. That's good. I think that card is
amazing.
Is fairly good. Mm-hmm. The ability to save yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's good on heroes that want to flip back and forth between hero and alter ego a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty clutch.
Like She-Hulk and Miss Marvel, or Captain Marvel and Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
Any hero strategies against Claw? Let's just go, Matt. What are some hero strategies that you like playing against Claw? What do you think?
I'm always partial to Black Panther because he can. He can defend, so you're not worried about the exhaustion. He can remove the attachments pretty easily. He's just very flexible with... Often there can be a lot of enemies, so you can do... Hey, I can do 2 damage to all enemies and do 2 to this guy and clear it off pretty well. But, like, in general, I don't really see a main strategy dealing with Claw.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of more of a... I think one of the biggest strategies is don't let him keep his attachments. Like, get rid of those attachments.
Yeah.
Those are just going to make your day harder. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
Don't let his attachments, and don't let minions build up either. Like, take minions out as they come out, and you'll have a much easier time. Because they're just going to add on to the pressure. Especially if you're playing in the Masters of Evil modular set. Those minions can really be a pain.
Even Legion's Hydra, because it has 4 minions, and the 2 schemes also bring out a minion.
Oh, yeah.
And those minions give you extra cards.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Ben, do you have any other strategy tips for dealing with this guy from a player card perspective?
Not especially. I already said you first game events if you need the time. Just try and build up a little bit and then just pile on the damage. He's tough, especially solo, but he's beatable.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Sam?
I think there's a couple of cards that are especially good for Claw. One, obviously, Nick Fury. He's just the toolbox. You can, if you have to, you can always remove that threat. If you have to, you can deal the damage. Or you can dig for more cards to help look for stuff to use against him. I think stunning Claw isn't a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Confusing Claw is great.
Yeah.
If you're playing Captain Marvel, cycle for that Spider Woman. I will choose the call Spider Woman over Nick Fury, just to confuse Claw, just to make, because I don't want him scheming as often as the other villains. Is it fair to say that his difficulty from Rhino is a big leap in solo? At least,
oh, yes, yeah. Especially yes. Expert is a huge leap.
Expert Claw might be the hardest villain in solo. Maybe.
Ooh, I don't know. That's tough. Well, Expert Ultron. I tried to do that over Thanksgiving break. Yeah, man, that took me so many times.
That's also tough.
But we'll get to him later.
Also, be prepared for a long game again. If you're playing a multiplayer game, so on the event for the ones where we got the comic book promos, was the release event.
The release event,
it's the only event we had. I played a standard game with my dad, my brother, and some guy who was at the store. We played against Standard Claw, and the game took 3 hours.
Jeez.
Wow.
It took so long. He just kept pulling out side schemes, and I think we had Legions of Hydra and Masters of Evil in there, and he was pulling out minions and side schemes. I was playing Aggression Iron Man, and every time a minion came out, I'd uppercut it or deal something. Just kill it right away. He got like 2 acceleration tokens on the ski. He was going on forever, and we finally managed to beat him. So, if you are a 4-player kind of person or a multiplayer, be prepared for a longer game. Be prepared for that jump in difficulty. But I think Claw is one of the most fun villains out of the box.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, a couple of things I would add. I think, kind of jumping off what you said, Sam, part of the difficulty of Claw, he's just got a lot of other stuff you have to deal with besides Claw. He's got these side schemes that come out. He's got these minions that come up. You know, you've got all these other things that he throws in your face that you've got to deal with besides him. And that's why he takes so long. So you've just got to... In multiplayer, you can help because a lot of people can... You have a lot more tools at you. Solo, it can be a little trickier because it's only you. And if you don't have a way to deal with all these things that got to be dealt with, then you're up a creek. The other thing I would add is this is kind of a... I don't know, this might be take or leave this advice. Iron Man is great. I mean, he's great against anything, but especially when you get fully built up, Iron Man, with those things that say spend one of each resource, Iron Man can do that like nothing. I mean, you got 7 cards in hand. Yeah, and you don't, it's not a big deal as Iron Man to spend resources to get rid of attachments or for Sonic Boom. And even if you get hit and exhausted, hey, guess what? You can just ready up with your arc reactor. So I think Iron Man is a great hero choice against Claw. If you can get set up and really get your Iron Man suit, once you get your suit going, you will smash Claw. So if you're looking for a hero to try Claw, I would definitely recommend Iron Man. It might take one or two tries if you get a bad early start because you're not set up and not ready to switch to Iron Man. But once that suit's built, you wipe the floor with him. Well, let's go on then. The last villain of the core set, Ultron. Who hasn't read the cards yet?
I haven't.
Go for it, Ben. You get the defining cards for Ultron.
Okay. So Ultron's defining cards are all about his, which
you cut out. Say that again.
His defining cards are all about his Ultron drones. Which are, you know, one scheme, one attack, one health minions that he puts into play. It's your cards from the top of your deck. So, and that's his environment. It explains everything, Ultron drones environment. So he's got the upgraded drones attachment card that attaches to the environment. It gives them all +1 attack and +1 health. And that's really annoying because going from... you know, 1 to 2 health makes it a lot harder to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And going from 1 to 2 attack means they do a lot more damage. Because you'll often have, like, 2 or 3 drones in play attacking you every turn.
Oh, yeah. That jump from 1 to 2 just is actually an exponential increase in damage. Because 1 attack, you're kind of like, I can take it. Once it gets to 2 attack or more, you're kind of like, can I take it?
Yeah. At that point, you'll have, like, if you're on stage 2 for the scheme and for Ultron, you'll be taking at least 2 drones unless you place the threat on the main scheme. And that, so then they're attacking you for 2 each. Then Ultron 2 gets a boost of 2. And that's just so much damage all at one time.
Right. Yeah. And again, you need to spend 1 V resource to hero out of it, which can hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially if you don't have the right resources. So that card's always annoying when it comes out. His other cards, another card is Android Efficiency, which when revealed, everybody puts a drone into play from the top of their deck. Oh my god. So it gets exponentially worse and higher in multiplayer.
Especially if you draw more than one.
Yeah. And also, as a boost card, you have to put you have to either pay a resource of a different type, depending. Like, there's one for each type. Or place a drone minion in the play.
Just adds to the drone pile.
And it's a really annoying boost to come out, because that also, I think on Ultron 2, gives them +1
sure does.
Attack.
That's so annoying on stage 3 when you... when he's no longer spawning drones, but you can't hit him until you get rid of all the drones. And now he just gets another one, and it's so frustrating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then it hits you for 2.
I don't think you can even retaliate against all
the attack.
Nope, because he can't be damaged. Nope.
Yeah. So, injury efficiency is annoying. And then he's the advanced Ultron drone, which is a 1 scheme, 1 attack, 4 health minion that is guard, and when you kill it, it spawns an Ultron drone from the top of your deck. He's got 3 of those, so they're always going to come out. Like, ugh.
I think I've pretty regularly seen those guys. I don't think I've ever played a game of Ultron where I haven't gotten at least one.
Unless you die on, like, the second turn.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's always that.
Yeah, that happens to me sometimes.
Another thing about the upgraded drones, or the advanced drone, is you have to remember for Ultron 2, his ability targets drone minions and not face-down drone minions, so he'll give Ultron 2 +1 attack when attacking you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And on stage 3...
he boosts all minions.
He gets... yeah, he gets +1 attack and +1 hit point, too. It's not just the face-down, it's all drone minions. And while he's in play, you have to kill 2 drones before you can hit Ultron, at least.
Right, yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah, the advanced Ultron drone is... it's just annoying, because you have to kill it, and then it makes another drone, and you're like, oh, I have to kill this too. It's like...
we know the timing for overkill in regard to his ability.
Ooh. In stage Ultron 3? Stage 3?
Well, it doesn't really matter. He's not going to overkill if you play Relentless. If you play Hammer Throw, which, whatever, spoiled card.
If you already had damage on it, yeah.
It go on to Ultron before he spawns?
That's a good minion question.
That is a good question. It's a force interrupt, so I would say... I don't actually know.
I would say so, because it's something that happens while you're doing the damage. You do that, then you resolve the 1 defeated effect.
Let me read the rules for...
but you can't be dealt damage while there's a drone.
Yeah, but you kill it and you defeat him, then you put the drone into play. So you do the damage first.
Okay.
While there's no drone in play.
I honestly don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Okay, so here's the overkill text. It's, if an attack with overkill defeats a minion, excess damage from the attack is dealt to the villain. So he would be defeated first. Is my assumption is he's defeated first, which means the drone would come in
and then Ultron
and you
would
wouldn't be able to kill him.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really matter because he has 5 hit points in Ultron 3 anyway.
Yeah, I think
you can take an extra damage.
I don't know.
I mean,
when in doubt, Grim Rule it. It's whatever option is worse for the players. So,
I don't know. Yeah,
it's funny because this game's about empowerment.
I know, right? But they still have the Grim Rule in the rule sheet.
Yeah. I don't like the Grim Rule, but that's fine. Also, Ultron's got like three different side schemes that are all terrible.
Yeah, they're all bad.
Yeah, he's got the drone factory, which is everyone puts a drone into play, and then it gets an extra threat for every drone in play.
I've had to hit this hit for so much threat because there's so many drones in play.
Mm-hmm.
This card's awful.
It's basically, you know, Android efficiency, but worse. Because it also is a side scheme. And then Invasive AI, it has three threat per player, and everyone discards the top three cards of their deck. So it's milling you a little bit, which is annoying. And it's got Hazard Icon.
And we answered that, in the Caleb interview, is that if you reveal that as your card and that discards the last three cards of your deck, that next card you get, you have to reveal that one too.
Yep. And if anyone else empties their deck, then they also get our card, the author of that.
Yep.
Too.
Same thing with Ultron's Imperative, if that takes the last two cards of the first player's deck for drones.
Yeah.
They get another card. Yay! Everybody gets a card.
Ultron's Imperative is really bad. It's got a Hazard and two threat per player, and the first player puts the top two cards of their deck face down as drones.
Really appreciate the two threat per player because that makes that card a little more tolerable.
Yeah.
Because most heroes can just get rid of that.
Yeah.
And one without boosting their ward, which I like.
It's also, but it puts two drones in play if you're playing solo. It's like, oh, I get two drones and this side scheme I have to deal with.
Yep.
Oh, man. So, yeah. Those are like three really bad side schemes.
Mm-hmm. Matt, why don't you hit the next point?
Sorry, which next point?
Number three there.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, stage three. When he's on stage two, Ultron can hit really hard if you ignore the drones and just let them build up. I've led a few times where it's like, oh, I'll just leave these drones, and suddenly, hey, you get two more drones, and now you have four drones, and he's hitting you for 8-6 attack plus a boost, and then, hey, these four are also attacking you. And then it's like, hey, look, there's upgraded drones, too. And now you're going to get hit really hard.
Yep.
Oh, hey, look, gang up.
Yeah.
They all attack you again.
Gang up is so bad in Ultron.
Oh, yeah.
Especially Ultron 2.
Mm-hmm. Ultron 2 is the worst to draw a gang up.
I know. Especially upgraded drones and gang up is awful.
Mm-hmm.
Gang up in general is awful. Except on stage one, you can choose to put the threat on the main scheme instead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, goodbye first stage, and then you're going to get another.
Speaking of that, he's going to advance that first stage quickly. So, honestly, if you're in multiplayer, it's a little easier to keep him from advancing it too quickly. If you're in solo, most of the time, if you spend a turn in alter ego form, you can just count on that first stage being gone. I mean, it's only three threat. It's going to be gone. And honestly, there's nothing really you can do about it. So don't worry about that stage advancing. It's going to advance. In solo, there's no way you can stop it. It's inevitably going to happen. In multiplayer, sometimes I've gotten lucky in multiplayer games, and we've like kept it on the first stage almost the whole game, but that's one in a million games, and you're just count your blessings if that happens to you. That will not happen to you in solo. It will advance.
Yeah.
And then the stage two really, I think the whole forced choice that each player has to make, I think the choices honestly depends on who your heroes are. If somebody's playing Iron Man, I've almost always just said, everybody just put the threat on there. I'll just get rid of it. Because Iron Man can thwart for so much.
He can also take out a bunch of minions with his gauntlets.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Like, if you got Retaliate as Black Panther, you usually just be like, I'll take a die as soon as it attacks me.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in Alter Ego mode, I usually say just take the drone, because if you can kill them, it's less threat overall.
Nah, that's a good point.
From this gaming. Kind of. Oh. It's kind of close, I think, Wiener. It depends on how good you are at killing chumps. Mm-hmm.
I would say that that main scheme forced effect is the most forgettable effect in the entire deck. I cannot remember a game that my first try playing the Ultron just as is, I have forgotten that effect. I always do it. I've seen it in multiplayer games. People always forget it. And then they'll realize it later on and be like, oh, well, Ultron would have hit me for one more at least. Or
whoops,
I'll pile up or not.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, wait, we're supposed to have 8 more on this game. Okay.
But in solo for She-Hulk, she can cancel that one. She can object to that one threat per player and stop that effect from triggering at all.
Which is really, really nice. Also, you can
great
use...
Great responsibility?
Yeah, great responsibility. If you cancel all the threat that would be placed on it, you cancel the effect.
Cancel the
that's a great point.
Right, but I mean, are you really gonna take one damage and lose a card from your hand just to stop a drone or two threat?
Maybe in like a 2 or 3 player game, or even a 4 player game. Probably not. Especially because I'm playing Justice, I can probably handle the threat.
4 players, 4 damage. To stop that effect from going off isn't bad, or play Hawkeye, just kill all 4 drones the turn they enter play, even if they're upgraded, or on stage 3, if they're not upgraded, he can still kill them because he deals 2 damage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Solid combo.
Yep.
Hawkeye's good.
Remember that drones attacking scheme? It's really easy to forget because it's just this card sitting in front of you and it doesn't look like a minion. So, but don't forget that actually is a minion. You have to take it into account. It has a thwart, it has a scheme and an attack value. So it will scheme and attack during the minion's turn to do all that. So just don't forget. It can be easy to forget. Just keep an eye on it.
Also, Ultron will, if Ultron schemes and advances, then it'll spawn a minion, and then that minion will scheme.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
That's really annoying. It's like, why?
I think this is a great way to teach players the order of the villain phase.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was
an introduction to the villain phase while being the hardest scenario in the box. Here's how to let the villain kill you. Good luck.
Anything on standard before we move to expert, Ultron?
I will say, I think this scenario scales up with player counts like harder than the other two. The other two like generally get easier as you go to players, but this one, there are a lot of things that say every player gets it, and it gets a lot harder as you add more players.
Yeah, especially if you're using the recommended modular under attack, and you get like the one that deals a damage to every friendly character, and that just does so much damage in 4 player that it can be really bad.
Yeah, I kind of like that. I mean, it makes 4 player games more interesting.
Oh yeah,
I still
definitely.
Think it's a little bit easier at 4 player than at 1, but I mean, it's just cool.
So expert Ultron, you're going to start at stage 2, so you start off right away with the bad one where whenever he attacks you, you have to get a drone, and then he gets boosts for however many drones you have engaged with you to his attack.
Yep.
So he hits really hard early. You've got to be ready for that. So bring, you know, just like we talked about with Rhino, bring healing, bring chump blockers, bring whatever you need. Just be ready for a lot of pain early on.
Girl.
Also, Squirrelville. Jump blockers help less, honestly, because the drones get past them.
That's true. You're going to have the drones hit you too.
Healing is really, really good. Really, really important, I think.
Mm-hmm. Bring your first aids.
Med team is MVP.
Oh, yep, med team. If you're playing with protection, or you're playing with a protection player, or you yourself. Yep.
Right, yeah.
Vibranium suit if you're playing Black Panther.
Yeah, Vibranium suit's great.
Amazing in this scenario.
So I just, since I'm I have the encounter deck in front of me. I was flipping through it. I just noticed that this is the first instance, I believe, where a card has a boost effect and a boost icon on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Huh.
However, it does teach you that the boost can have effect and an icon. I believe there's some in Green Goblin. I don't remember. Yeah. I don't know if the card's offhand. So keep an eye on that. Like that'll be something you have to look out for. And I think something overarching that I've seen a lot of people ask all the time, that I didn't, maybe it's a confusing rule. I just think that was one of the first things they taught me when I did the demo, is that if you have a boost effect, you only read the boost effect. Nothing else happens. Just the boost effect. You don't reveal the card. It's not, if you flip up an advance as your boost card, you don't resolve the one revealed. It's, you just look at the icons and the boost effect if it has one.
Right.
That's a very important point. Matt, you haven't talked in a while. Why don't you read point number three under Ultron Expert?
He is very large schemes and very large attacks when he is playing. Mm-hmm. He can just get boosts with all those drones, the threat from the main scheme, and just the attacks. Once you get to Ultron 3, he does 4 damage per attack. You can't avoid, there's no reductions. It's just boom, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm.
He pummels you hard.
Yeah.
Especially if he's got his program transmitter, that attachment that gives him +1 to his scheme. He schemes for 3, attacks for 4 on stage. A stage 3 Ultron, if he's got that. It's so bad.
If you have side schemes, that can...
Yep.
It looks innocuous, but it'll hit you hard.
Mm-hmm. Especially since Ultron 3 pulls out a side scheme.
Yes, he gets Ultron's imperative when he goes to stage 3.
So and just as an ape boost to the drones will also make them hit. It's like, hey, they're just drones, but then you forget, hey, they can hit for 2, they can hit for 3 damage, and you're going to quickly go down if you get hit by multiple drones.
And now the Avenge drone is hitting for 2 and has 5 hit points, which that is, I completely overlooked that for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
But it does say drone minion and not just. So if we get an Ultron modular set that has drone minions in there, throw that in there, make it harder.
That would be fun.
So cool. That would be so cool. I want that now.
Maybe that'll be what the box is.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Sometimes when you're on stage 2, you'll draw Ultron's imperative. If you're near the end of stage 2, you might want to leave it in play for a turn or 2 if you can finish him off, because otherwise he'll just grab it back. You'll get 2 more drones and it'll refill a threat. It's just so, yeah.
I made that mistake on my first solo Ultron game. I went on, I was like, oh, Ultron's imperative, I'll get rid of it, because I wanted to, I think I either forgot or I was going in blind to stage 3. And I go to stage 3 and it pulls it out again, and I was like, are you actually kidding me? I just got rid of
it. I just got rid of you.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Can we keep it clean for 5 minutes?
Ultron's getting his imperatives all over the place.
Can I take an action?
Yeah. Get out of here. Ben, read the last point under Expert Ultron for us.
Wait. What?
Oh, wait.
Drones attacking scheme? Hold on.
That was, we must have copied and pasted that. Never mind. We said that earlier.
Yep.
It's
still attacking scheme.
So from a player perspective, let's go down the row. Sam, what are some cards and strategies to remember from a player's perspective going up against Ultron?
Hawkeye. This is Hawkeye. A really big one. Anything with Retaliate to Black Panther, Captain America, with his shield. You have to have his shield out. Mockingbird is great on stage 2 to stun the villain. Webbed Up, amazing against Ultron. Stunning the villain, canceling 2 attacks, it's fantastic. Healing, like you said, Med Team, Vibranium Suit, all those. Energy Daggers, great card. Ground Stomp, potentially good.
Yeah.
And Squirrel Girl is going to be great when. Because she'll be able to just wipe a board of drones as long as they're not upgraded.
One thing about Mockingbird is her one attack, it doesn't feel bad to use that one attack to take out a drone.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, yeah. Black Cat is also great.
Yeah.
Interrogation Room is very good because you always have something to kill, basically.
Yeah. Anything that gives you bonuses for killing minions, like chase them down, interrogation room, all those.
Anything that references minions, I think that any player card that says probably...
Say that again, Ben, you cut out.
Any minion card that says... Any player card that says minion on it against Ultron, probably.
Yep. I would always say make sure you keep the drones cleared. That should be your number one. Just like you want to clear Claw's minions, you want to keep the drones cleared at all times. You want to have a clean board state going into the villain phase. Because if you even leave one drone, you have no idea how many the villain phase could just pop out, and then you start getting overrun. But yeah, any we've said it before, but any board wipe cards like Ground Stomp, War Machine, any of those, Squirrel Girl when she comes out, are great against Ultron. Anything that does a little bit of damage to a lot of enemies.
Yep.
Matt, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Not without going deep down the spoilers of Thor, but I think we'll leave that out.
Yep. Thor will be good against Ultron. Let's just say that.
Ben, anything else you want to add?
Not particularly, though.
All right. Awesome. Well, thanks, everybody. That gets us all through the core set. If you have any other tips, please let us know. We have a Discord channel and a Facebook group. You can join there to keep updated with all the latest Excelsior news. Oh, by the way, this will be our last recording for the holidays. We're planning on this one coming out on the 20th. Holidays breaks are coming up. We've got Christmas, New Year's, all that good stuff. So we're going to be enjoying time with families and friends. We'll be back at it, though, in January, and we can't wait. We're going to have so much to discuss with Ms. Marvel, with Captain America, with Green Goblin. We're going to talk about, when we come back, all of our player experiences, because we'll have a ton of time to play with these heroes on our own and tell you what we think about them and give some actual play experience, and I can't wait for that. But until then, for 2019, Matt, take us home.
I can take an action now?
Yes, I will let you take an action.
Okie dokie. Excelsior, onwards and upwards.